Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to another edition of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. And so glad to have you with us right here on a beautiful Saturday morning. I am Randy Bergen. Coach Rick Cleveland on assignment, and a good assignment he was on. Yep. But my man, Coach Mark Laster, is here. Coach, good to see you. Tough ball game last night.
Yeah.
Tough ball game. Okay.
We ran into a really good football team, you know. Yeah. And Gunnar Rivers is
the real deal.
He's the real deal. He's a good quarterback, and he made some really nice throws last night. They have a really fine football team. Coach Rivers and his staff have done a good job getting their kids ready to go. They've got kids out. You know, there's over 60 kids on their roster, and they're just doing a really good job there at St. Michael. They got a lot of kids out playing ball, and you know, it's one of those games where opening drive, we took the ball for over 10 minutes, I think it was, and kicked a field goal, and then stopped them. And then we almost had a punt block. I thought we almost blocked it. But the young man, I don't know his name, had a punt for about 60-something yards.
Wow.
And it just flipped the whole field position. And in high school football, field position is a – vital part of a game.
No doubt.
And if you can't get out of the shadow of your goalpost and then you give them good field position coming back, a guy like Gunnar Rivers is going to hurt you. And he did.
Yeah.
And I think he had 5 touchdown passes last night.
Oh, my goodness.
And so
now, y'all were there, right?
We were there, yeah. Okay. And they got a beautiful stadium. You know, they've done a good job over there at St. Michael's. And I hate that we're on the losing end of that, but I think we found out some things we need to learn and we need to go forward. And you know, it's one game. It's not the end of the season. It doesn't have anything to do with our region setting. So we're going to lick our wounds a little bit today, and then tomorrow go back to work and get ready for our next ball game.
Well, and that's what Coach Cleveland and I talked about on Thursday night. First game, you know, you got the jitters. Look, it's not just the ball players, the coaches, the referees, the fans, the cheerleaders, the band, everybody. It's the first real setting. So there's going to be some changes. There'll be some improvement between week one and week two. So,
there will be.
And I know y'all were able to see some things that you don't really see in practice.
That's right. And you find out some things you got to do better. You know, they've always said, I remember when I first started coaching years ago, the biggest changes come after the first week. And so I think that you'll see that from most football teams around the state. But, man, if nothing else, what an exciting time. The beginning of the football season, you know, I've been waiting on this since last year. I love the football season. I love the fall. And I know our fans do, and I know all people from around in the state of Alabama love it. It was just it's exciting to see. And I'm going to have to give a shout-out before I forget. Robert Still, Golden Bears.
Oh, there you go.
Beat LaFleur last night. And I'm so proud of Coach Jones and his staff, especially my son, Landon, who was the defensive coordinator, called his first game last night.
That's awesome.
As a 7A, as a defensive coordinator at all, at any level, but at the 7A program, big kudos to him and the win they got last night. And I talked to him last night, and he was pretty excited. Still, you know, we got to do a lot better. We're not very good. We got to do not very good at this. We're not very good, you know, but hey. Big win. Robert Still gets a win against LaFleur last night and at home, and I know the Golden Bears are happy this morning.
No, there's no doubt. Congratulations to them. As a matter of fact, we will be giving the scores from around the state. We'll start on some of that here in just a few moments, and we'll do it in the next segment. Let me go ahead and set up the table for you here real quick. On a Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line today, we will have, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Dr. Jay Savage from Gulf Orthopedic.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I think it's important that we kind of talk about these things, especially early on in the season about athletic injuries, rehab, heat, concerns. People talk about him all the time, but he's going to come on and be here. If you want to have a question for him, just text it into the station, and we can see if we can pull out the questions and and he'll try to answer them. We'll only have him for a little bit at 8:30 this morning.
And then we'll have the leadership segment at 8:45 in our 9 o'clock hour. Boy, we got it stacked for you. Coach Jeff Kelly, the head football coach for the Spartans of Sarah Land, they get a nice win. They travel to Jackson, old stomping grounds for him. They get a win. He'll be on to tell us about that. At 9:15, Chase Smith, the head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort, got a big win over Fairhope on Thursday night.
Right.
We'll talk to him. Hopefully he'll be in the studio
with
us. So, and then at 9:30, we'll speak with Thompson Warriors head football coach, former Toro head football coach Mark Freeman will be on with us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Coach. I haven't talked to him in quite a while, and always kind of like to find out early on in the season because Thompson's going to be someone to be reckoned with at the end of the season. So I'd like to hear how him talk about his team. They had a big win over Carver Montgomery Thursday night in the kickoff classic.
It'll be fun. And, you know, Coach, they call it week zero. Which is interesting to me, why you call it week zero, but it was week zero.
Right.
A lot of games played from around the state, and I'll tell you what, we got a few minutes. If you would like, we'll go ahead and get started on some of those scores.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Let's start out with a little 7A. Auburn defeats Booker out of Florida 24-6. Baker 42, Theodore 31, Bob Jones 28, Coleman 3, Central Phoenix City 59, Pinson Valley 16, Daphne defeats McGill-Tulin by one, 29-28. Boy, what a close game at the lip last night. Davidson defeats Murphy, 35-6. Dothan over Leighton Childs, 42-17. Enterprise, 31. Andalusia, 10. Foley beats Baldwin County, 7-3 in a close game. Grissom, 35. Lee Huntsville, 0. Hewitt-Trussville, 52. Johnson Abernathy-Gratz, 0. Hillcrest-Tuscaloosa, 35. Florence, 7. Huntsville, 42, Hazel Green, 6, IMGA Academy over Hoover, 34-13, James Clemson, 35, Gardendale, 21, Mary Montgomery, 34, Pace out of Florida, 21, Oak Mountain, 14, Briarwood Christian, 3, Opelika defeats Benjamin Russell, former place you've been, 25-20, Robertsdale, there it is, they defeat LaFleur, 31-20, Smith Station, 24, Shaw out of Georgia, 0, Thompson, 37, Carver Montgomery, 6, that's a big one. I thought Carver Montgomery would have played a little bit tighter. Vestavia Hills, 49, and Westside, 7.
In Class 6A, Athens, 32, May Jemison, 9, Bessemer City, 32, Center Point, 0, Buckhorn, 27, Decatur, 12, Central Carroll out of Georgia, 37, Oxford, 34, Central Tuscaloosa, 45, Tuscaloosa County, 13, Chelsea, 51, Charles Henderson, 27, Clay Chalkville, 42, Hueytown, 15, Fort Payne, 21, Scottsboro, 19, Hartsell, 39, Austin, 6, Homewood, 51, John Carroll Catholic, 7, Jackson Olin, 24, Fairfield, 0, Jasper, 41, Brookwood, 6, McAdory, 57, Pleasant Grove, 7, Minor, 46, Dora, 0, Mountain Brook, 44, Demopolis, 7, Muscle Shoals, 24, Gadsden City, 6, Northridge, 41, Calera, 21, Parker, 41, Ramsey, 13, Pell City, 22, Pelham, 14, Percy Julian, 23, Paul Bryant, 2, Russell County, 42, Carroll, 14, Saraland, 17, Jackson, 6, Shades Valley, 15, Woodlawn, 12, Spain Park, 48, Sparkman, 21, Spanish Fort, 37, Fairhope, 7, Stanhope Elmore, 28, Marbury, 6, and Wetumpka, 36, Beauregard, 19.
All right, let's see how far we can get through with Class 5A, Asheville, 27, Springville, 21, Arab over Albertville, 18-14, Ardmore, 44, Tanner, 6, BC Rain defeats Hillcrest Evergreen, 34-20, Boaz, 28, Madison County, 7, Brewer over Hayden, 26-6, Central Clay County, 36, Hanley, 3, Citronelle defeats Millery, they zip them, 35-0, Corner, 34, Winfield, 0, Elmore County, 31, Dadeville, 30, Eufaula, 32, BT Washington, 18, Fairview, 48, Fultondale, 0, Gainesville out of Georgia, 49, they defeat Moody, 49-7, Gainesville, 34, Georgiana, 6, Headland, 33, Dale County, 20, Jacksonville, 45, Etowah, 7, Leeds defeats Mortimer Jordan, 45-28. getting back into all of this.
Yeah.
A little bit. So bear with me here. Montevallo 4, Terrence 6. We'll get the rest of them when we come back. How about that? By the way, Coach, we lost a great coach this past week. We'll talk about that when we come back as
yes,
well,
sir.
All right?
Yes,
hey, don't go anywhere. This is the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
Coach, you weren't here last this week, so we dedicate this song again to you today.
Oh, I appreciate y'all doing that for me. I really do. But I would have got to tell you, we had a great time.
I know you did.
Our coach and staff, Coach Trotter, took us on a little fishing trip, and it was really good.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Caught some nice fish and ate some this week, too. And it was that was even better.
I bet it was. I bet it was. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I'm Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Lassiter. Coach Cleland is on assignment, and a good assignment he is on. He'll tell us about that when he gets back next week. Coach, before we go any further, we'll continue with the scores here in just a moment. But do want to pay tribute to a wonderful, wonderful coach that we lost this week, Coach Barry Hightower, the baseball coach for Mary Montgomery.
Yeah, you know, Coach Hightower has a guy who played baseball here, coached at Mary Montgomery. He passed away after a long battle with esophageal cancer. And so at this time, we really want to remember him and his family and all the lives that he touched throughout his career as a coach in the state of Alabama. And hopefully that you know, they will find grace and peace in this time with understanding of our prayers are all going out toward them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, let's continue on with our scores from around the state. I think we left off at Montevallo, defeated Tarrant 14-6, Montgomery Catholic 32, St. James 6, Northside 56, no problem, West Blockton, they only scored 6 points. Selma 24, Park Crossing 20. Shelby County 27, Lincoln 14, Sipsey Valley 69, Greene County 6, St. Clair County 61, Jamison 21. St. Paul's defeats UMS Wright by a point last night in a big game.
Overtime.
That's right, 29-28, St. Paul's gets the win. Sylacauga 44, Central Coosa 22, Valley 20, Glenwood 14, Winona 19, Escambia County 0, and to round out the Class 5A, West Point defeats Haleyville 30-6.
In Class 4A, Ashford 35, Rehoboth 15, Bibb County 28, Chilton County 7, Cherokee County 24, Piedmont 8. That's a shocker for me right there. Cadorva 27, Oakman 20, Curry 36, Carbon Hill 14, DAR 21, Brindley Mountain 18, Deschler 15, Russellville 14, East Lawrence 14, Lawrence County 6, Hamilton 42, Hale County 13, Holt 22, RC Hatch 8, Mobile Christian 48, Chickasaw 0, New Brockton 24, Pike Liberal 7, New Hope 43, Ohatchee 32, North Jackson 20, Sylvania nothing, Oak Grove 40, Weaver 3, Oneonta 58, Locust Fork 13, Orange Beach 34, Alberta 14, Satsuma 1, McIntosh 0 in a forfeit. St. John Paul II Catholic 62, Elkmont 27, St. Michael Catholic 41, Bayside Academy 10, Strawn 40, Highland Home 12, Trinity Presbyterian 15, Holtville 14, Westminster Christian 49, East Limestone 34, West Morgan 41, Randolph County 14, and White Plains 23, Talladega 13.
In Class 3A, Blue 42, Abbeville 14, Danville 59, Thorptown 0, Cedar Bluff 35, Valley Head 19, Clemens no problem with West Lyman, actually a real close game, 21-14 the final in that. Colbert Heights defeats Cherokee 38-8, Cottage Hill Christian 47, Washington County 26, XL, they get a win over Linden 24-12, Flemington, no problem with Clark County, 17-0, the final in that. Geraldine, 41, Sardis, 14. Glencoe, 7, Southeastern, 0. Gordo over Fayette County, 34-28. Houston Academy, 35, G.W. Long, 26. J.B. Pennington, 44, Susan Moore, 26. Lauderdale County, 26, Lexington, 19. Lee Scott Academy over Alabama Christian, 40-20. Mars Hill Bible, 51, Madison Academy, 27. Midfield, 34, Huffman, 6. Montgomery Academy, 59, Tallahassee, 3. Monroe County, 48, Florella, 20. We'll get better at this, okay? Pierce County, Georgia, 20. Coosa Christian, 7. Providence Christian, 20. Wicksburg, 14. Randolph County, 44. Woodland, 21. Rogers, 44. Wilson, 23. Sachs, 48. Horseshoe Bend, 42. Big game there.
Yep.
Sheffield, 70. Decatur Heritage, 36. Ooh. 106 points in that game.
Good grief.
Slocum, 38. Houston County, 0. Thorsby, 22, Isabella, 8, and T.R. Miller over Realtown, 35-21.
And 2A, Aliceville, 68, Pickens County, 8, Cleveland, 27, Whitesburg Christian, 13, Cold Spring, 65, Hansville, 7, Fauntville, 22, Vinemont, 6, Gaston, 34, Ashbury, 6, Geneva County, 20, Pleasant Home, 12, J.U. Blackshear, 36, Marengo, 6, Lafayette, 51, Elwood Christian, 6, Lamar County, 12, South Lamar, 7, Lochapoca, 49, Prattville Christian, 24, Laverne, 56, Elba, 0, Mount Zion, 49, Ranburn, 0, Pleasant Valley, 34, West End, 0, St. Luke's Episcopal, 49, Christian Collegiate out of Mississippi, 0, Seligent, 22, Marion County, 14, Tuscaloosa Academy, 16, American Christian, 14, Zion Chapel, 28, Kinston, nothing.
Did you say Laverne, 56, Elba,
yeah.
0?
Yeah.
Big 89 is going to be in here in a little bit. And we'll have to remind
like
him of that score. Okay, in Class 1A, Addison, 41, Winston County, 20, Appalachian, 25, Holy Pond, 0. Billingsley, no problem with Greensboro, 22-0, the final. Fayetteville, 35, Childersburg, 28, Francis Marion, 8, Dallas County, 0. Galesville, 30, Donahoe, 6, Ider, 19, Section, 13. J.F. Shields, 24, Wilcox Central, 12, Keithover Calhoun, 54-36, Leroy and Thomasville, 52-34, the final on that, Leroy gets the win. Meek, 20, Lynn, 6, Spring Garden, 44, Sandrock, 28, Wadley, 46, B.B. Comer, 0, and Winterboro, 18, Vincent, 8.
You know, there were some Jamboree games played that were not actually official games this Thursday and Friday night. Good Hope, 24, Pisgah, 12, Goshen, 14, Notasoga, 7, Op, 41, Brantley, 0, Southside, Selma, 32, Pike County, 13, Sweetwater, 13, Sacred Heart Catholic, 0, and W.S. Neal, 51, Central of Haneyville, 8. And that's our scores.
From around the state.
From around the state.
Yeah.
We got through all of them.
We
kind of stumbled over a few.
We came in on three wheels, but had a flat there for a minute. But, no, you know, listen, the first week of high school football is always fun. You see a lot of good – you see plays you don't expect. You see players you might not expect blossom a little bit. And, again, as I said in the first segment – it's the first week of live action for everyone.
Right.
Okay. I saw some tempers get lost a little bit on the sidelines the other night. Okay. I get that. But again, these guys are out there playing for the first time, real speed. Everything's real. They're officials. Look, the officials are going to mess up a little bit as well. All right.
You know,
don't lay on them too much.
That's right. You know, that officials, so many times, and I know it hurts sometimes when a play's made, you just go, oh, my gosh, how'd they make that call? You know, and you wonder. But these guys are out there. They don't do it for a whole – they don't do it for the money, I can assure you. It's not very much money. They go out there, those officials go out there and do the best job they can. And, you know, sportsmanship is a thing that we talk about on this show. It's a real big part of this show and a part of a high school athletic association. And that's not just for the players and the coaches. That's for the fans as well. And I think we, you know, our society's gotten very, very vocal and very, with social media today, we can be really cruel to people who are out there doing something, doing a service, trying to help officiate games. because without them, we don't play any games. There is no more sports if we don't have umpires and baseball referees and other sports. If we don't have them, folks, you know, that's not good. So that's a reminder, and I think it's being read at every sporting event. You know, I know at Bayside we do. We have a sportsmanship thing that is read before the game, after the first quarter, at halftime. You know, they read a thing about sportsmanship just to remind everyone why we're there.
Well, going back to the officials for just a second, listen, there are not many of those guys out there. And yeah, if you think you can do better, hey, go take the class.
Put your striped shirt on and go to work.
Get out there and have fun.
That's right.
I mean, they're out there trying. And without them, we have no ball games.
That's so right.
And Rick said it last week. They're actually – you're seeing ball games played earlier in the week on a Tuesday or Wednesday just so that you have officials for Thursday and Friday. You know, and you're seeing Saturday games too.
That's right. There was an official – when I was at Benjamin Russell, there was a guy who was – Talisay named Ronnie Baines. And Ronnie was one of those guys. He said, hey, on 4th and 15, I want that thing thrown at me. I want to make that call. He goes, I love it. That's what I'm out here for. Not because he cared, but he wanted to make the right call.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, we take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Jay Savage from the Gulf Orthopedic right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen along with my man, Coach Mark Laster, sitting on the curvy couch.
Yes.
Coach Rick Cleveland. On assignment, so it's just as the song goes, just the two of us.
Just the two of us, guy.
And if you start singing to me, we're in
trouble. Because we both do, you know, see eye to eye.
We do.
And so that's kind of a good thing.
Well, it is. It is. Hey, look, hey, it's fun to have this guy on with us on a Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line. Dr. Jay Savage from Gulf Orthopedic on the line with us. Doc, thanks for taking time to be with us on a wonderful Saturday morning.
Hey, guys.
Good morning, Jay. You all right, man?
Hey, good morning. Sorry, it kind of all of a sudden came on. I apologize.
I hear you, pal. How you doing this morning, Jay?
Doing great. Good. How about you guys?
Doing good. A little tired from, you know, yesterday. You know, Fridays are long days. They are.
Yeah.
You know,
and, a little bit of a late night last night. I've been up at a cross-country event this morning. It's a late night, early morning, but it's good.
How'd that cross-country meet go this morning? There was a bunch of teams out there, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was good. Kind of finishing up now, but a bunch of teams. Good event.
That tournament, that's a cross tournament, was hosted by Bayside, actually. It was the Admiral Invitational, and we got rained out on Thursday, and so they were able to move it to this morning and became the Admiral Sunrise Invitational.
Right. Yeah, and I think maybe a little lighter turnout than they had thought. Ended up running kind of combined kind of middle school varsity event, just a couple of in two races
nice.
This morning. But still a good turnout. I thought it was a good event for the kids this morning.
It was. It's a good, Coach Joe Swaggart's a coach at Bayside. He does a great job with our cross-country program there. And Jay, we appreciate all you do and Gulf Orthopedics does for our school and for a lot of athletes around the state of Alabama who come to see you guys and especially in our areas here in Baldwin and Mobile County. Tell us a little bit, I had some questions that that I had gotten about heat exhaustion and what kids can do, not just the coaches, but what the kids can actually do themselves to help them keep from getting too sometimes they just get out there and they just sweat too much. I don't know what it is. Sometimes they do. But what can they do to help prevent themselves from, getting dehydrated and getting too much? Is it how much they wear, how much they drink, what they eat, et cetera, et cetera? Could you just kind of tell our folks about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, and always a big topic at this time of year because, I mean, you know, we obviously start this football season when it's pretty hot, right?
Right.
You know, especially now playing these two games in August like we do. And so there's certainly risk for athletes, and football is a sport that has higher risk. We're wearing equipment, we're helmets and shoulder pads and stuff under that. And, you know, so we're at a higher risk, you know, for heat illness in these athletes. And just something you have to be really vigilant about watching for. From a prevention standpoint, I mean, you know, and what the, you know, our athletes can do and we can, you know, help promote with them is, it's, you know, we always talk about this just starts early. You can't catch up after it happens getting dehydrated. This is something that starts kind of, you know, during the week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, kind of how you're taking care of yourself, what you're putting in your body, how we're, you know, are we getting sleep like we need to? Are we hydrating sufficiently, consistently during the week? Those things are all important. And hey, in today's age with, you know, a dime a dozen energy drinks on every shelf, that's something that I see as, you know, over the years has become a big issue, you know. And I don't think any of us are immune to it. We've probably all done it to, you know, to try to kind of keep our motor going or stay awake. But for kids who are sweating a lot and exerting themselves a lot, some of these energy drinks that are, you know, a lot of caffeine, a lot of other things that tend to kind of ramp up their metabolism, that those things can kind of really be a detriment to, you know, trying to stay hydrated and stay away from some of these heat illness issues.
We're visiting with Dr. Jay Savage from the Gulf Orthopedic in Fairhope and location in Mobile as well. Jay, I want to ask you, you mentioned the drinks there, the hydration drinks. There's a store load full of them. All right. You got all kinds. Is there one that, and I'm not asking you to advertise or sponsor one particular drink, but is there one that you say, hey, this is one that we have found is probably better than the rest?
Well, I think in that regard, we're just kind of looking there for something that's, you know, going to hydrate you, has electrolytes in it, but doesn't have kind of, like I said, like, you know, a lot of the caffeine and substances like that, you know, that can really kind of increase heart rate and metabolism that are not really helping you hydrate. In fact, if anything, that may dehydrate you. So really, you know, water with a good electrolyte mix, Gatorade's great. I mean, you know, there's no problem with kind of the drinks like that. And I'm more thinking about the, you know, the various brands that come in a can that are kind of marketed differently for a quick kind of energy boost.
Right.
Those are generally not helpful for hydration, and in fact, actually harmful most of the time.
Yeah, I would think so for sure. You know, we talk about the athletes and certainly being hydrated for athletes, but with this heat also, I think fans sitting in these stands need to make sure they're hydrated as well.
Yeah, absolutely, because this is something that can kind of sneak up on you. You know, it can go downhill, you know, pretty quickly. A lot of times, you know, we're all familiar with, you know, this time of year we're going to have a lot of cramping, you know, and kids who are sweating a lot and, you know, kind of excessive fatigue, you know, from the heat. And those, you know, we kind of, they kind of become normal to us because we're used to seeing it. You know, it happens a lot. But really, you know, in this bigger issue, that's actually the first sign of a problem happening. And then, you know, it often doesn't happen, but sometimes it does. That can progress very quickly sometimes to, you know, an athlete or like you said, somebody sitting in the stands or cheerleaders or our officials. I mean, it can happen to anybody kind of going from that to maybe having kind of a little confusion, being disoriented, feeling a little dizzy or nauseous. You know, sometimes a really high heart rate. And then that could even progress to, okay, now maybe we're not sweating anymore. And you know, it's 95 degrees outside and we're feeling cold instead of feeling the heat.
Right.
And that's it. Body can kind of start kind of getting that temperature dysregulation. And that's when you're at a point there where, you got to get that, whether it's a player, you know, cheerleader, fan, official, we got to get them cooled down immediately, get them out of that situation that they're in, because that situation can become a very serious situation very fast. And, you know, I was, it's been on my mind. I was actually looking at some things this morning, just kind of about just what's been going on this year. And then, you know, it just breaks your heart, unfortunately. I mean, just what we see in the news, there have been 4 heat-related deaths in high school football around the country this year. And that's just what's reported in the news. And I hate to be pessimistic, but that may not be all of them, you know. And that's just something that we just absolutely need to make a never event, something that never happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it is something that everybody is really aware of. There is one question I've heard this before, and I say it all the time. Is there some reality to being heat conditioned? Like if you spend the summer.
Exactly. So, you know, so there's recommendations for that, you know, at least. And I think we do a good job with it in our summer training now. I mean, I think you guys, you know better how y'all kind of do the summers than me, but you certainly practice a lot more in the summers than people did, you know, when I was coming along, you know. But a 2 week period of heat acclimatization is kind of a recommended guideline for getting athletes, you know, used to the heat. You know, they've been coming off maybe kind of, you know, not doing a lot for the first part of the summer, kind of getting back into practice. Yeah, you need kind of that 2 week period to kind of ramp up, and you know, doing that kind of in without pads or in shells, and then progressing to full pads, and you know, that is very important. Yeah, you definitely need that time to get acclimatized to it.
We're visiting with Dr. Jay Savage from Gulf Orthopedic. Let me ask you this, and Mark, I want you to chime in here as well. One of the things, and fans sometimes don't understand, during the ball game, you'll see a timeout. Neither team has taken the timeout, but they call that a heat timeout, and which is what, 6 minutes?
Around the six-minute mark.
Okay,
Exactly,
during each quarter, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and how long do they do that? When does that stop for the season? Do they don't do it the whole season, correct?
No, usually it happens when the officials association starts seeing it as the temperatures have dropped consistently,
right,
and it's not as big an issue, then they will usually around the first couple of weeks of October.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe the last week of September.
All the way through September, and then kind of October is when it usually stops, yeah.
I think so, too.
No, it's certainly critical to do that.
It is.
Especially down here, no doubt about it.
It is. So that's kind of the way it is. Dr. Savage, I just can't tell you how much we appreciate you guys at Gulf Orthopedic for sponsoring our show and partnering with us and being a part of this program and spending some time with us on this Saturday morning. We really appreciate you coming on, Jay.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all bringing this topic up, because it's something that I'm pretty passionate about, kind of keeping our kids safe from. And so I think it's just always good whenever we can get some information and education out about it. So thank you.
We'll do it, and we'll continue to do it, buddy.
All right. You guys have a great day.
All right, man. You too, pal. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Jay Savage, Gulf Orthopedic. Great guy. Boy, I tell you, he's a great guy.
He really is.
He is.
And listen, and he makes a good point there. It's very critical. If you're a parent, make sure that your athlete is hydrated. It's not the day of. You have to do it the week of
all
or 2 weeks of.
You almost have to do it all the time during football season.
You do.
You just do. And, you know, it's because kids, what happens, too, on this deal, sometimes these kids get tired. You know, while this is like they get dehydrated, they get tired, and then they have another injury to a part of their body of some sort, and they find themselves, you know, in a bad situation. So we always want to make sure that we keep all of these things a part of our repertoire as we go through our preparation for the week, and the kids and the family's got to do it as well at home.
Absolutely. Coach, we just had a special guest walk in.
We sure did. He's a little taller than us.
And a whole lot better looking.
Yeah, he is.
A whole lot better looking.
I don't know about all that.
Coach Chase Smith in the house. Chase, how you doing, brother?
Good morning, guys.
Man,
morning.
Congratulations on the win Thursday night. Boy, what a good victory.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime you can start the season off and, you know, just see our boys, you know, just – being focused on the little things, and that's just a big concern as a coach in the first game, and I think they handled that well.
We're going to talk with you. You're going to be with us for a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, we'll certainly visit that Spanish Fort game as Spanish Fort defeated Fairhope on Thursday night. All right, look, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, you've got the leadership segment,
yes,
Mark?
Sir.
All right, yeah. We'll do that right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen, along with Coach Mark Laster. Coach Rick Cleveland has the weekend off. He's on assignment, and a good assignment he is on.
Absolutely.
So what did we do? Hey, we went to the bullpen, and we pulled out our ace, Mark.
Yes.
That's right. Coach Chase Smith is in the house with us, head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort. And, Mark, why don't we do this? Why don't we do an audible?
Let's do that.
Okay. Since we have Coach here with us. Maybe we can switch the
We can do the leadership at 9:15.
Okay.
And we'll do it at that time today. We'll get the coach here with us. Let's talk about his ball game from Friday night.
Thursday night.
Thursday night. I love this title now. I don't know where y'all came up with it, but the title of the game is called the California Dreamin' Bowl.
Yeah.
That's pretty good now. I'm going to tell you.
Well, there's a big
good.
Trophy. There's a big trophy they have out there.
Yeah, and tell us how that works. Is it sponsored by that restaurant?
Yeah, so California Dreamin' in the mall here at Eastern Shore. You know, so I think it's been going on for 10-plus years. I think 12 years is what they said. And so California Dreamin' does so much for us. They provide our pregame meals through the season. They let us have functions there, work with us, and really, really big supporters of Spanish Fort Athletics in general. And so that's a way for us to kind of make it a big deal for them. And it's become a big deal. When I first got here, when I was previously here, we didn't have that. And so they came back and said, well, you know, this is the California Dreaming Bowl. And I said, oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
And, but we have a luncheon. We bring the players. They feed the players. They make it a big deal. It's kind of a little press conference for the kids. And and they take care of the opposing team as well and feed them. And so I can't say enough about their support.
That's awesome. And the whole thing just – I love the way that thing's set up.
Yeah.
It's a really good rivalry between two really good schools. I think the world of both schools. And you and Tim are two of the finest coaches and men in our area and a tribute to our profession. We appreciate what you guys do. We really do. But tell us a little bit about the game, man. You know, her first half was a nail biter. Then the second half, y'all kind of got on top of them a little bit. But tell us a little bit about the ball game.
Yeah, and I talked to Tim yesterday and checked on him. We talked, and you know, we always debrief, and that's what's great about playing a team like that is with Tim and our relationship is, you know, you got a barometer of where your team's at, and then we like to call each other, what'd you see here, what'd you see there, and this is something I didn't expect. And they did some things that they haven't done in the past that I thought were really good and slowed us down at times. But, yeah, I mean, I just came out, we all came out, and, you know, the first game, you're just – and we have a lot of question marks. And I'm proud of a lot of some young kids that stepped up that really didn't have that experience
right.
on Friday Night Lights. And had some weather come in, had some rain, and our crowd, our Toro Nation came out, and it didn't deter them. We had a huge crowd. Loved that for our kids. Loved doing it on Thursday nights, you know. Now, Friday mornings, you know, film time at 6:55, the kids probably aren't excited about that. you know, the Thursday night, the first game in the area, I mean, it was the big show, and it was a great atmosphere. And, yeah, we came out, and it was a really good first half, really, really – I mean, at halftime, it was 3-0. We were up 3-0.
Right.
A lot of give and take. I expected that. Our defense came out and played really well.
The defense played extremely well.
Really well.
Yeah.
Played with a lot of heart, a lot of energy, a lot of grit. And, you know, offensively on both sides, trying to put it together, kind of expected first game. But I tell you, they got a good ball team.
They do.
That. I mean, they really do.
That offensive line is huge. Mm-hmm. And, they did. I got to ask you about this kid. Number 88. Okay, Zach Maggie. Is it Maggie?
Yep, Maggie. Mm-hmm.
Kid comes out. You and I would dominate him, okay? Not a big guy. Comes out and kicks his first field goal, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think it was about a 33-yarder, if I remember correctly.
I think he had a 33-37-yarder, I think.
Yeah. It was a big kick. Mm-hmm. All right, this kid makes it. Now, it wasn't end over end, but it made it, okay? Mm-hmm. Not only did he make that one, he made another one, and he made every extra point as well.
This is his first varsity football game ever.
First varsity football game.
Yeah. And I was like, it was awesome. It was awesome to watch. But you had some players out there that I thought really just you played cohesive football. Mm-hmm. Your offense did. I thought they played extremely well. The defense played well. Sam Wilder, he got held quite a bit, but other than that, he put a hit on one kid right there late in the ball game. I mean, just laid him out. Mm-hmm. Keep your eye on number four if you go to tour. Watch the Toros. The kid's good.
Yeah, he is, and I'm doing the defensive line this year, and just can't say how proud I am of those guys and Sam and Brandon Marino, Logan McDowell, those guys
yes.
on the front. When did this happen, Coach? So none of my D linemen have 90 numbers.
That's exactly.
And I'm like, really? Well, here's the big thing. So one day, it's the numbers are the biggest thing. I don't know about you, but
it is.
There's no way I change my number in football.
Yeah.
I'm so super. And
yeah.
I guess that's like an older thing. Yeah. There's no way these kids change their numbers every year, and it's fine. So seniors, you know, they graduate and they want their number. I think last year Bishop was 4, and so I wanted that, and Brandon Marino's 6, and Love McDowell's 15, and said, I don't know if I have any D linemen with a 90s number. What happened to 99? Like, those were some fierce stuff. I'm like, I don't know, but, you know, whatever they want, you know, we'll work it out. But it's funny to me.
That is funny you mentioned that because that's one of the things we talked about. You said, look at the front line. There's nothing over a 15 on there.
All right. Right.
But that was pretty cool. I did have a first. As long as I've been doing high school football, I have never had a center – and a quarterback whose names begin with an AA.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden, and your center is
Gawitzka. Aaron Gawitzka.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the name started with AA. I just thought that was just one of those trivia things. But no, yeah, it was an outstanding ball game. You get mm-hmm. to win 27-20. You got a big one coming up Friday night against Theodore. Steve Mask comes in there with his Bobcats, and they'll be ready to play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I've talked to Coach Mask, obviously a great coach, known him for a long time. Does a great job. We open up region play at home on the hill Friday night. And, you know, we know what's at stake. I mean, and this going into this region, you know, it's a grinder. I mean, y'all know that. It's really good football, really physical football. You know, if you don't bring it, you can get ran out of the stadium. And that's what's going to happen Friday night. You know, Theodore is going to be very physical, very big. Very fast, you know, so we've got to be ready. We've got to have a great week of preparation.
You know, Mark, this region, as Chase just mentioned, is one of the toughest regions in the state of Alabama. You look at it, you got Baldwin County, Blount, Gulf Shores, McGill-Tulin, Murphy, Saraland, obviously Spanish Fort, St. Paul's, Theodore. Well, that's a gauntlet, dude.
It is.
That is a gauntlet right there. I'll tell you, Theodore lost last night, mm-hmm. and they lost lost in a pretty good game, 31-42 the final of that. They lose to Baker, which, you know, Baker's obviously a 7A school.
And Baker's, you know, over the last, gosh, what, 5 or 6 years, that program has just really blossomed.
Yeah, they have.
You know,
Zach Gulse has done a good job.
Yeah, he has. And so, you know, they've done a good job. So Theodore's going to come in, you know, ready to go. Steve Mask will have him ready to play. That'll be a really good football game. Between you guys, I think so. I think playing them at home is a good advantage for you.
The last couple of years, it has been. Last year, we won an double overtime, I believe.
Right.
And then the year before that, we came up at the end and won by, like, I think, a point. And then the year before that, when they played us, it was down to the wire, and we lost on the last play. So, I mean, it has been back and forth ever since I've been here.
That's it'll be fun. That'll be on Friday night. By the way, the lights that you have there at the stadium is incredible. We did have a little bit of an incident with 3 minutes left.
Yeah, I for the first time ever, he's not here, so he's not here to defend himself. But I think, you know, Coach Cleveland jinxed us. The first time. I mean, what else is it? His first time in the press box and the lights shut out. It's never happened.
Yeah, so, I agree with you.
We'll
I
have think, to get that fixed. We'll have a staff.
I think he jinxed it.
He did. He probably did.
Hey, can you stick around for a minute? All right, look, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll speak more with Coach Chase Smith, the head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Ford, as the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports continues.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report as we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in South Alabama. And I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Lasseter. Coach Rick Cleveland has the weekend off. He's on assignment. And Mark, good first hour. The second hour is going to be equally as well.
Absolutely.
And
We've got a very special guest in the house with us, Coach Chase Smith, head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort, hanging out with us. And before we go to our Boudreaux's Cajun line, I do want to mention real quick, we got a lot of great sponsors of the show. And one that we just that takes very good care of us is Chris Garrison and his whole staff over at Premier Collision. They're located at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile. You can give them a call, 251-478-4500. And I know that you just got a vehicle not too long ago.
Yeah.
They redid
an old truck I had and fixed it up, and Chris was right. It looks like it just rolled off the showroom floor. It's an old Ford work truck, but man, it looks so good, and I'm so proud of it, and I appreciate those guys for the job they did on it.
Absolutely. Really, if you have a ding or a major crash, be sure and check out Premier Collision at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile, Alabama. Okay, time to go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in the head football coach for the Spartans of Sarah Land. They get a win last night over Jackson. Coach Jeff Kelly on the line with us. Coach, congratulations on the win last night. A very good win over Jackson.
Hey, we appreciate it. It was good to get the season kicked off and go on the road and in a tough environment and big crowd and all that kind of good stuff and go up and, you know, kind of play to a different script a little bit. We've been known for playing a lot of high scoring games and that kind of stuff, but it was kind of a defensive back and forth deal. Proud of our guys defensively and how we play. Got a new D coordinator this year, Skylar Mosley, who hit with his guys, Coach Little and Coach Clopan and Coach Brown and Coach Lanier. They had their guys ready to play, and they executed really well against a lot of talent on the field.
You know, Coach, we're so glad to have you on here. Jeff hadn't talked to you in a while, buddy, and I'm glad you're doing well. But your football team went up to it, and you said it. That's a tough environment to go to Jackson and play football. You know, you've been up there many times in your life, and I just think that it's a place that, you know, you go in there and you're already feel like you're behind before you start, and to have your guys come out and play the way they did. What did y'all do to get your guys ready to play in that environment?
You know, I think, number one, that's something that it's hard to replicate going into it, you know, in practice and that kind of stuff. And really to open the season like that, I mean, you just kind of got to throw them in the fire and make them grow up quick. And, yeah, you know, that was a well-publicized game, and there was a lot of talk. Everybody seemed to have an opinion about it, and I think everybody had us getting beat before we got off the bus. And I think, I think our kids just wanted to kind of remind everybody about who they are, we play pretty good football too. And, you know, they came in there, you know, really focused go put their best foot forward and do a lot of good things, and they backed it up.
Well, tell us a little bit about your team, Coach. Some of the guys that you had a great summer, walked into fall camp, got ready to go, and kind of leaders of your football team.
You know, last night offensively, you know, Deshaun Spencer, you know, made a lot of big plays and did a lot of big things there. Jameson Roberts in his first start, you know, made some big throws and really – you know, as we opened it up with him in the second quarter, we started rolling a little bit and got some good things. Our offensive line, who returns one starter, had a bunch of guys making their first appearances. They really played well and protected well. Coach Dunnigan, our O-line guy, I think is the best guy in the business. And you know, he and Coach Herring, they had those guys playing well. And then defensively, you know, I feel like our three linebackers, Aiden Q and DeMarin Ducklin and Ja'Kari Harris, you know, those are as good of players as there is in high school. And I think Braden Clifton, a fourth linebacker for us, really came out and made some big plays, was all over the field, and we covered well. They got some, you know, big-time FBS receivers, and, you know, LaWardy Jones matched up against their top guy and really held him to minimal catches all night long. You know, just was kind of a one-on-one night all night, and he stepped to the challenge. I think he's got a chance to have just an absolutely huge senior year. And so just pleased with their effort. They played hard. It was first game. We didn't have a lot of, you know, cramp issues or anything like that. So that's always a first game fear going into it. And, you know, so just we got to build on it and keep growing. And understand we're not where we need to be, but it was good to get a first win.
Absolutely. 17-6, the final of that. We're visiting with Coach Jeff Kelly, the head football coach for the Spartans of Sarah Land. Coach, take just a moment. You mentioned a couple of your coaches. Talk about your coaching staff real quick.
We got a lot of young guys. One thing I'm really excited about, I think we got six guys on my staff that has played for me throughout the years. And so it's really cool to see those guys, you know, come back and want to dive into the business and dive into the helping kids and coach kids. And, you know, so really, really excited there. Offensively, Brett Bowell, is kind of gets everything going offensively for us. Matt Dearman, a veteran coach, works in the backfield, does a great job. And Rod Stunningen, mentioned him up front. And Jeffrey Gatewood's, a young guy that coaches his tail off out there. And then defensively, you know, there was a lot of talk whenever, you know, we had a position open up this year, a defensive coordinator, and we filled it in-house with a guy in his late 20s who hadn't been a DC at this level before, but he's a guy that played for me, a guy I believed in, and he's a super hard worker. He's one of the top young coaches coming up, and we were able to hire a veteran guy, Ryan Little, that has done an amazing job coming in and, you know, really shoring up some things in the secondary and providing a lot of kind of that veteran wisdom over there for that side of the ball. And so we're excited about where we are with our coaches. It makes it a joy to go to work, you know, everybody kind of pulling the same way and that kind of stuff. And I think that's one of the reasons we, you know, kind of have some consistency and are able to sustain, you know, year after year, how we want to be.
You know, we're talking with Jeff Kelly, head football coach at Sarah Land High School. Had a big win last night. Coach, tell us a little bit about, as you look forward, I think you go to Blount next week to play, and, you know, that's a, you know, it's a different environment there, but they've got some tremendous football players. Tell us a little bit about that game coming up against Blount next Friday night.
You know, you can, when you go play over there, it's you're going to get their very best. They're different home. They always play extremely tough. Their band, their crowd gets into it, makes it a tough place to play. And so, well, you know, we're going to go watch them tonight. They play over at Land Stadium and try to get an idea of, you know, what to prepare for and that kind of stuff. And we know, you know, they will absolutely be ready to go, and it'll be a region game. So, second one on the road for us. You know, we opened up our first two on the road, so we're kind of road warriors coming out of the gate, so we definitely got to be ready to play.
I got you, buddy. Well, listen, man, we want to tell you, Chase, we got Chase Smith sitting here. He's shaking his head.
You'll see him in 3 weeks.
Yeah. He's shaking his head listening to you.
Hey, Jeff, congrats on the win last night.
Thanks, Coach. You guys as well. Watch y'all on the live stream, and y'all had a great start of the season as well. Congrats.
I appreciate it.
Jeff, thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning to be with us, and congratulations on a big win for you guys, and best of luck, and we'll be talking to you throughout the season, buddy.
Y'all have a great one. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Coach Jeff Kelly right there, the head football coach for the Spartans of Sarah Land. Good win last night over Jackson. Anytime you can go into Jackson, and that's old stomping grounds for him.
Yeah.
Gets the win 17-6. It's pretty good. And remember, Jackson won state championship last year. So yeah. They got some athletes. They've got some big-time athletes
they
on
do.
Their team.
Of course, then the big elephant in the room was the running back.
Yep.
You know, not being able to play. And I don't know all the stuff I've read a little bit about it, but whatever it was, he didn't play, and I think he's supposed to play this week, and he's a great player now. I mean, there's no doubt. I saw him up close and personal on Bayside Field one night. I thought we had him hemmed up, and he went 90, and that was just the way it is. I think he was an eighth grader then, but tremendous football player. So Jackson's going to make a run. You don't have to worry about that.
No doubt. All right, we'll take a timeout when we come back. We're going to visit with Coach Chase Smith, talk a little more Toro football right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
You know, Mark, if I'd had a voice like that right there, I could have been somebody.
But, Randy, you are somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster. As we mentioned, Coach Cleland has the weekend off, so filling in for him, we got another coach, one of our fun coaches, Coach Chase Smith, hanging out with us. And we did a little bit of an audible. We changed to the leadership segment for this segment.
Right.
And I'm going to toss it over to you.
You know, this segment's leadership was provided by GoPest, and you know, Nathan Cox and 68 Ventures. Right. They just do a great job. And you know, Nathan and Brad Israel just do a fantastic job with their leadership through gosh, I've gone brain. What's a 360? I went brain lock. I can't think of what the name of it. But they have a program they do, and I'll think of it in a minute. But they give out information constantly as Warrior 360. And they give you out this information to tell you about how to be a leader. And so love this, that they provide us with this segment. And I was getting ready to do this segment today. I just thought it would be kind of cool to look at some leadership examples of some tremendous coaches. And two of them, of course, me being an Alabama fan, I thought I'd go ahead and bring out my two guys that I love dearly. I got to work in the office with Coach Bryant when I was at Alabama. That was a great time in my life. You know, here I was, starry-eyed kid, you know, and get to actually sit down in his office, you know, and talk to him. It was really kind of cool. But I don't think he ever knew my name. He said, son, come on in here. We'd go on top. Anyway, this is something I wanted to talk about, Coach Bryant, his philosophy on leadership. Basically, this is what he says. He emphasized dedication, hard work, self-discipline, and a relentless commitment to the team's success over personal glory. He believed in setting high goals, fostering a culture of teamwork and commitment, and always taking responsibility for the team's performance. A key aspect of his leadership was the focus on individual preparation, treating players with respect and support, and instilling a never-quit attitude. That was Coach Bryant's. So I thought it would be kind of cool to see what Coach Saban's idea was. Nick Saban's leadership is defined by building a culture of accountability, selflessness, emphasizing the process over outcomes, fostering team unity, prioritizing the development and benefit of others through discipline and high standards. His approach involves a transformational style, focusing on the process with disciplined daily execution, cultivating relationships by showing care for his team and inspiring players to be their best and take personal responsibility for their performance. As you hear these two guys talk, there's an underlying thing that meshes them together is about the team. Mm-hmm. Give me an idea. What do you guys think about that? I mean, is it something that only works in athletics, or?
I think it works. It works in every facet. Athletics, in your office area. I mean, I think it works in every facet of your life.
Yeah, and you know, so this has always been really important to me as a coach, and you kind of go through and honestly, you go steal ideas from other people,
sure,
and things like that. And the best thing that I felt. I start in the offseason in January, and we develop a leadership council. And we start in the offseason, you know, and you know, you think offseason, let's get in the weight room, let's get big, let's get, you know, let's get conditioning. But we take time and we have a leadership lunch once a week. And so the kids come up to my office, we have lunch, and we start there. And I think what is important to me is defining who we want to be as a team. And I put those guys down there, and I give them a piece of paper. I go, okay, how do we want to be defined? What does this look like? You know, how do we want to play the game? How do we want to practice? How do we, and give them a voice, because I think this is so important now more than ever. There are so much access to these kids. Mm-hmm. There's so many things out there that they want to try to, you know, make important, make it a priority. And it's now more than ever that we have to hone back in and say, because it's easy to do, right? We all have our own Facebook pages and Instagram. It's all a selfish type society, not by any, just naturally has happened, it's a great thing because it gives exposure and it gives market, all those things, but we've got to come back to team. and come back to, hey, our values. You know, our values at Spanish Ford is accountability, grit, purpose, and love. And we talk about those things, and we say, what does that mean? Define what that means. How do you want it to be? And I think this year's teams really take ownership on what they want to see that and the leadership qualities, because if you don't put them in opportunities to grow as a leader, how will they ever
that,
grow?
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. That is very I'll tell you, Chase, that's very good right there. I like that. I like to see, as a parent and your child is playing for a coach, that's the kind of things you like to see, because that coach is with the child probably more than you are.
That's right.
So building leadership, I think, is real big, and that goes a long way, and that's what Coach Saban did, and that's what Coach Bryant did. Big 89 will be in here after a while, and that's one of the things that Coach Bryant did for those. He asked Galen McCullough, okay? Galen McCullough says because of Coach Bryant, he is where he is today. Very successful surgeon, right? Plastic surgeon. And his leadership is so important for these guys. And I think, I like that so much, but I don't mean to take over, Mark.
No, man.
I think that's big time.
I think it is, too. And I think, you know, what Chase is doing is something that is just, I think other coaches around our state do it. I know Adam Weingarten's real big in it. Yeah. And, you know, he does a really good, he has an entire program that he takes it on the road, and he'll tell other coaches how to do it. But it's really good because, you know, end of the day, in this job we have as coaches, the number one thing we're supposed to try to do is prepare our kids to move out into society and become good leaders, good dads, good husbands, good whatever, but show them the right way to do it.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times structures of families throughout the United States has changed over the last 100 years. You know, they really has. There's not as many structured families. You know, when I was a kid, we sat down and had supper every night. Every night. My mom and daddy made sure we were going to have. That doesn't happen all the time anymore because lives are so busy. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's different. So what does this give them? This provides them with that chance to see a little bit different way of doing things and a way to find where and have a voice in that program. I think it's huge. It gives them ownership of the program in some way, shape, or form. And, Chase, I commend you for that. And our other coaches, you know, there were coaches in the state of Alabama. You take Buddy Anderson at Vestavia Hills, one of the best coaches in this state has ever seen. He was a guy mentor. I remember I interviewed for my first job out of college with Buddy Anderson, and I left there in tears because we had a moment where we talked about, you know, our faith and our beliefs, and it was just outstanding. Yeah. You know, I knew I wanted to work for the guy. I didn't get the job, but I really wanted to work for the guy. But Bob Finley's another one. You know, we can go through other men. So I just commend our coach and our head coaches that are just taking time to build that pro, because at the end of the day, everybody wants to win games. Winning games will take care of themselves when you build a group and a foundation that's built on kids that understand what it all means to be a team and what it means to do your part in that team. Yeah. So that was the focus point for leadership today.
Good job.
Man, I love that stuff. I love talking about it because Chase hit it right on a button, and that is really good stuff that kids have that deal going on.
Absolutely. Hey, Chase, we've got only about 2 minutes left in this segment. I'm looking at your schedule, and at the beginning of the season, whenever the schedule comes out, is there one game that you and your coaching staff put your finger on and say, this is really –
You know, honestly, I try not to do that.
Well,
of course, we look at it as a staff and we say, hey, who are they returning? You know, they should be really strong here. They should be here, depth, all those things. But just as a whole, we just really focus on the goals at hand, which is start off with a win to start the season and then to be prepared to go into region play next week like we're doing. But, you know, and our schedule there, I mean, you know, Every week is such an important game. But, you know, we do evaluate as a coaching staff on, hey, this is going to be a key game. This is going to be a key matchup here. But as a team, I really don't want to look too far ahead. I really don't. I think the mission at hand is one week at a time, one day at a time. And we talk about the objectives of each day.
Sure.
You know, step by step, what's the objective today? What do we got to get done here? What do we got to get done here? Systematic approach. And that's how we really approach offseason and then summer. And we're taking those steps and teaching those kids, hey, you know, one step at a time. The biggest thing we say is it's okay to take a smaller step, this. You just can't take steps back.
That's right.
You know, I think when you look down and you just keep that grind going and keep that consistency, then you look up and go, man, we just – look how far we've come. You know, so that's kind of our mentality looking there. But, yeah, we know some matchups, key matchups coming up that we're going to have to be ready for down the stretch.
How did you come out? Any injuries?
No.
Good. No, that's a big fear. And I know did baseball for, what, 16 years with Coach Phil Lazenby. And the first game was always, can we get out of this game without an injury? Mm-hmm. But good stuff. Are you going to stick around a little bit?
Yeah,
okay, all right, good. Because we're going to take a timeout. We've got Thompson Warriors head football coach, former Toro coach, Mark Freeman, is going to be up next. So don't go anywhere. There's more of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Oh, man, you got to let Boss Gags go. I mean, come on. That's good stuff right there. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I'm Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster. Coach Rick Cleland has the weekend off. Special guest on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. He's a head football coach for the Warriors of Thompson High School. Coach Mark Freeman on the line with us. Coach, listen, we have a very special guest in our studio that has a question for you. And I'm going to let you ask that question right now.
Coach Freeman.
Yes, sir.
How you doing this morning?
I'm blessed, man. How you doing?
Good. I just want to ask, man, who is the best offensive line coach that coached for a spring with you when you first came down to Spanish Fort? And how did he do, man? A younger guy that you remember that guy? You remember back in the day? I can't remember the year, but it was a while ago. You remember that?
Man, I do remember that guy. Is he still around?
They still let him in the building here, barely, though. How you doing, man? Chase Smith here. How are you?
Man, I'm blessed, brother. It's good to see you. How's everything?
Great, man. Great. Congrats. How's everything up your way? Everybody healthy? Everybody good to go?
Man, we're good, Chase. Congratulations on big win. I know that's a battle down there. We used to have the Eastern Shore Cup. I don't know if you guys got it or not, but that's a big win for you guys. I'm proud of you.
I appreciate it, man. Likewise. Congrats.
Coach Freeman, it's Mark Lasseter, buddy. It's good to hear your voice. I hadn't talked to you in a long time, man. How you doing?
Coach, I'm blessed, man. I'm still remember the day you walked in my office up there at school and what a blessing it was to see you and your wife, and I hope everything's going good for you guys.
It is going good. I have talked about that day many times, just spending time with you and you showing me around Thompson, and it was a treat just to sit and talk with you for a while. But let's talk about the ball game, Coach, y'all against Carver the other night, you know, big ball game, and part of the kickoff classic, and, you know, just a big win for you guys. Carver got a really good football team, and y'all handle business pretty well. So tell us a little bit about the game, Coach.
Well, it was in the sneaky thing is Carver has really got – we know they got really good athletes, and their head coach, I hate to use this word mentor, but he was a young guy, and he worked with Coach Scott Cochran and him at Alabama for a while, and John Copeland was a coach at Tuscaloosa Academy, and he called me one day and wanted to bring his staff up, and when I was at Thompson, and talk a little bit of offense and football, and Mario was like a middle school, junior high coach or something, and we just formed a relationship, and he was really inquisitive, and just I really enjoyed talking with him, and so we formed a relationship years and years ago, and as his career traveling, he got the job at Carver. They didn't have a game, and we didn't have a game, and so we got together and played, and I thought, man, he's done a tremendous job there. They're really athletic. They got a great quarterback that he can play receiver. He can play DB. I think he's committed to Mississippi State, but he's an SEC player. And they're smart enough to get the ball in his hands every snap. And they got good athletes around him, and really good defense. And was a good battle for us. And like I said, they're, I think, six at halftime, and I think they're going to sneak up some people. And I don't, you know, we got a long way to go ourselves. We got a lot of new kids starting this year. But they were really good, and we enjoyed it. And thank God it was a win.
You know, Coach, you guys' program has been so good for so long. And just y'all just do a fantastic job. I know when you and I were up there talking that day, kind of gave me some ideas about how y'all did things and how it built that program. And it looks, seems like to me, Coach, what you guys have done there at Thompson has built that program from the middle school up, probably even before that. But just in talking with you and even talking with one of your former coaches who's with us now, George Pratt, talking about how that y'all did things and how it worked together, but had kind of messed that. Is that kind of how every year it kind of like you got guys graduating, going playing the SEC and other levels of college football, or graduating, moving on into college or whatever, and then you got guys coming in who just take their place and y'all just keep rolling. Is that a part of the culture that y'all tried to build starting from your seventh grade program up?
Yeah, Mark, it is. And, you know, it's when I'm going to tell you what, when I got to Spanish Fort, Coach Clark and them had really established, he had his hand on that middle school program down there, and we took that thoughts with us, you know, every year thereafter at Spanish Fort. And then when we came to up here, you know, we tried to do it at Gulf Shores when I was there, and Bessemer Academy, it was really easy because it was just everybody was in one school, so I could kind of have my hand on the little peewees in the middle school. And then we tried to do it at Gulf Shores, and that was part of my problem at Gulf Shores. I just didn't feel like at the moment when I was there, we were still Obama County School, and it was kind of hard to get all that going down there. And then Spanish Fort, biggest part of it was I felt like we had our middle school program in a really good position, and we were able to hire some coaches there. And yeah, Mark, and we've done the same model here. We try to do our 7th grade, 8th grade a lot more modified than what we have to do at the varsity level, but just get our basic principles. First of all, our character issues. How do we want to play? What does it take to play here? Practice ethic, our character. And you can kind of build that to go with the X and O's. And then our freshman team is in the building with us. And so, yeah, I think that way your kids know the expectation. They know when they come in our building, don't have their earrings on. They know not to wear hoodies in the building. And we don't have to go through teaching that every year. And I think, you know, you got to build off the basics of your character and your ethics and your mantra, what you believe in. And the X and O's will come, but I think we've done a really good job, my coaches have, of keeping those things grounded and teaching from the ground up.
We're visiting with Thompson Warriors head football coach Mark Freeman and Mark Lassiter. You didn't know, I didn't know, we were about to have a Toro reunion here. We've got Chase Smith, the current coach for the Toros, Mark Freeman, a former coach, and then the original coach for the Toros, Barry Gibson, in the house with us as well. So this is Toro. Toros have
Saturday.
Taken over. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mark, Coach, let me ask you a question. You get the win, as we mentioned, 37-6 over Carver. You step out of the state and you go to Grayson, Georgia. Tell us a little bit about that game.
Well, you wake up a little bit hungry on Saturday morning. You watch them. I don't want lunch or breakfast this morning. They'll make you kind of think that you play the game. Seriously, they are. I think they're ranked like fourth in the nation in a lot of polls, and they're just not a weak spot, Mark. You and Chase, you guys know that you look for certain things when you throw on film, and daggum, first two or three things I look for defensively on a team. They got SEC players, ACC players. They're really fast. They're really good. They play a 3-3 stack, and Chase knows, and you know, Mark, that those teams that play 3-3 and three high safeties, everything is kind of backwards that week as far as teaching your quarterback, you know, his reads and stuff, and they're really good. But I'm going to tell you what, we played the heck out of them last year and had a chance to beat them. They skull-drugged everybody. I don't know what they did last night, but they just skull-drugged everybody they played. And so, and I'm serious. I'm not, you know, I think 51-3 and something else. But, you know, we want to go there, and we want to find a way to play good. They got a quarterback that I've had three college coaches text me and say, hey, let me know what you think about that quarterback. I think he's committed to North Carolina. But he's really good. He's a big, tall, athletic guy. And, you know, Mark, you want to play these games nobody's going to remember these games, the record in October, but you're going to want to take these experiences and these great teams, and you want to play them, and you want to see where are we weak, where can we get better, where were we pretty good at, where what kids did I have that could play against these guys a little bit, and we're still building our offensive line. Chase, of all people, know, you know, when you got four new offensive linemen, life can be pretty tough, and our tackles have to get better. Mm-hmm. But you know, I just believe you play these games, Mark, and go play. And like I said, in October, you know, nobody's going to remember if you beat them or if you didn't beat them. But you're going to have some great film and kind of compare that to them teams you play as if you're fortunate enough to get in the playoffs.
Exactly right. You know, you're going to be playing. You'll find out a lot of things. What you have to change, what you have to get better. That's going to, you know, for you, you'll remember it, and your staff will remember it because you got to. And what changes we made, and then you move forward because that's what gets y'all ready. And that's why I believe one of the reasons y'all are always good in the playoffs.
Well, and I do too. I believe that's a big factor is trying to play really good teams early in the year. And, you know, I think it's helped us. And we're looking forward to it now. We're looking forward to going over there and playing them. It'll be a great atmosphere. It'll be a guy lay. It'll be like a playoff atmosphere. And we like going on the road. It's fun to go on the road and be the underdog and go play in these stadiums.
Mark, I want to tell you how much we appreciate having you on our show and appreciate you taking time to be with us today. And, buddy, we wish you the very best of luck. May God bless you.
Man, God bless you guys. Chase, it's good to talk to you. You guys have a great year and enjoy yourself. And hopefully I'll see you guys down the road. And God bless all of you.
Thank you, pal. Good luck. Take care, Mark.
Good luck. All right, there you go, Coach Mark Freeman, the Thompson Warriors head football coach. I'll tell you, he's done a good job up there, Thompson. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he has. He's got good players. They've built a tremendous program there. You know, that was one of those, you know, places that years ago didn't hear much about, you know. And the city decided, hey, we're going to do something. And they made a commitment to making that high school one of the best around.
Let me tell you, it's like a little college. It's like. If you've never been there, it is
unbelievable.
It really, really, really is. I got to tell you, sitting here as the only non-coach in the building here, it's funny because I want to say coach, and then as soon as I say coach, all y'all just kind of perk up. So I'm kind of like.
You know what's really funny is you go to a coaching clinic somewhere. Yeah. You know, and there's like 400 or 500 coaches standing around, and everybody's standing around a room talking, and you go, hey, coach, and about everybody's head turns around, you know, everybody. And so it's I understand what you're saying.
Barry Gibson is in the house with us now. Barry, you started up the Toro Nation, what was that, 20 years ago?
20 years. Can you believe it?
Wow.
20 years ago this year. That's right.
Well, it has certainly grown, and Chase now at the helm is doing an outstanding job, and we're looking forward to this year. I can tell you it's good to be back in the press box. You know, did it for quite some time over in Pensacola in the panhandle on their Friday night rivals. But calling radio and calling TV is two different things. And now it's combined. We're doing radio and TV. So it's a lot of fun. All right, you going to stick around?
Yeah.
All right. And, Barry, I know you're going to be here because we've got a big show coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, Southern Fairway Sports Radio. A lot of college to get into. They kick off next week. But we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, it'll be the Camp Grace segment. Mark will have that for you. Don't worry.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, one of the things that in our grace segment that really is always meaningful to me is family. God instituted a family and a platform for us to follow. He did it all through the Bible. All you got to do is read. You can find it. And I wanted to share something. This is kind of what family love is described as: a deep, powerful bond provides a sense of belonging and security. It is considered a fundamental aspect of life, where love is constant and enduring force. The concept of family extends beyond blood relations to include those who offer support and acceptance. And it was you know how I am now about family and my family. And I mentioned earlier today that my son, Landon, who's moved up from – he went from Troy to T.R. Miller where he coached receivers and some of the outside linebackers. And he came to Bayside for a little while, and I got to coach with him for 3 years. And he is the middle son of – I have an older one, Brooks, and then Bryant's the baby. And Landon went and coached with us for 3 years. The last year or two at Bayside, he's always been an offensive guy, but he got involved with the defense. And, I mean, he blossomed with it, just really learned. And Coach George Pratt, our defense coordinator, took him under and really taught him secondary defense, you know, what to do. And he got better and better and better and better and better. I've just watched him grow. Well, last night he coached in his first 7A football game, as a defensive coordinator anywhere, and he did it at Robertsdale with Coach Jones hired him as the DC. And you know, I talked to him every day during the week. That boy was so nervous. I said, "Look, I remember that my first night as a head football coach. I was so nervous. I didn't know whether I could even walk around the block,
right?
Because I wanted to make sure I was doing everything right, and I was doing everything anyway." He was really nervous. So they come out with a win last night, you know, and they gave up, I think he said they gave up one or two touchdowns and had a kickoff return. Anyway, whatever it was. And he says, "Dad, I did a terrible job. I did a terrible job." And I said, "Man, don't, you know, yada, yada, yada. Don't worry about all that. You just keep doing what you do. Simplify what you got to simplify and let the kids play. That's it." And so that was all well and good. But the greatest part, I'm going to tell you guys, and I'm going to get teary out if I'm not careful. The best part for me was he told me, he goes, "Dad, it was really cool. My oldest brother, Brooks, was there. He came to the game. And his wife and one of her friends, another good friend that they have been together. It's about 6 or 7. He said, "Dad, there was all kinds of family and friends at the game just there to support me." And –
wow.
I had to walk, you know, I had to, because that's, you know, as a dad, that's all you ever want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before your family is to love and support and care for one another, mm-hmm. regardless of what it is. Mm-hmm. And they do this all the time. We do it in different ways. But for him that night, with so much weighing on his shoulders, he felt like this was an awesome night for him. And to not just for being the DC at Robertsdale and doing that, but his family was there.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good stuff.
Support.
And so I wanted to share that this morning. It's meaningful to me, and y'all all know who've listened to me talk before that's a big deal in my life. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share that's our grace segment for today. And I appreciate y'all bearing with me through that a little bit.
Well, that's pretty special. I mean, I can only imagine your son kind of following your same footsteps, and then he steps into that role as a DC in the first game, and he gets a win out of it, and just not happy with that. I can do better.
Right.
Don't we all do that, though?
Yes.
Don't we all, doesn't matter how good we do, I can do just a little bit better. Coach Barry Gibson here with us, Coach Chase Smith in the house, Coach Mark Laster here, Coach Rick Cleveland not here. He's on assignment. Little Randy over here. So
emphasis right. on little.
There you go. There you go. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'll be here all day. Hey, Chase, as you get set for this next ball game, going into preparation for the week, how do you start preparing for it? For this next game, going into region play?
Yeah, and that's obviously the big one, but just a systematic approach, and we tell our kids about it. We want our kids to understand our approach. You know, as a staff, you start making them today, start getting the film and start evaluating, and it's a broad spectrum. You know, I just want to know who they are, offense, defense, special teams, right? And then you start getting more of your data. You start seeing who they are on certain situations on the field, seeing who they are in certain down and distance, things like that. And then it's real important to me to make sure we've evaluated personnel. You know, how are we going to match up personnel for personnel? Who are their best? Who can we find ourselves? We feel like we've got a better matchup, and then how do we exploit that in the game? How do we be prepared for different setups on personnel and things like that? And then preparing our backups to be as prepared as possible. But it starts out Sunday, a base of who they are. Monday's a big – install what our base packages are. And then as we go through the Tuesday is a huge work day. It's your most physical day. And putting it all in, and then Wednesday is ironing it all out. You know, as coaches, we throw we throw things out too. Hey, look, this just has not looked good. We're not there yet. Let's throw it out. Because the biggest thing as a coach, I want to say, guys, if we're going to do this, I want to see it done on Friday night. If we're practicing it, you only have so many hours to practice.
That's right.
So let's get good at it, and then let's call it, and let's throw it out. If it doesn't look good on Tuesday and Wednesday, let's not call it on Friday.
Right? Yeah.
That's the biggest thing as coaches is, guys, you know, put them in position to be successful, see it, and then let them go do it. You know, and so we kind of get to that point, and then Wednesday's all about just ironing it out, really, really scout look, the basics of it, making sure we're good with special teams, and then Thursday morning, helmet run through, and then it's game time.
There you go. And let me just remind you, if you want to listen to the ball game, you can listen to it locally on 103.3, 103.5. You can watch it on the NFHS network. Also, I think there's online streaming. There's a lot of different ways you can watch that ball game. Spanish Fork gets set to host the Bobcats at Theodore. Pre-game begins at 6:45, kickoff at 7 o'clock, and we're excited to be a part of that for sure. Mark, for you, you've got Marbury. It's a non-region game. Are y'all prepared?
Not yet. We got some work to do. We got some things we got to get ironed out this week. But we'll get back to work. You know, we'll start this afternoon, actually. We'll start watching film, and then we all get together tomorrow to put, you know, see what we're going to do. But I'm with Chase there. You know, if it didn't look good Tuesday, get rid of it, because it's not going to look good on Friday either. You know, and just do what you can do. Make it simple and let them play. That if they're having to think, they're a step slow. Mm-hmm. So just let them play.
Yeah, let me say one thing, Chase. One that I noticed on your defense, and we talked about a little bit on the broadcast, was your defense stayed at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, your guys, a lot of times, and we've seen this when we were doing Bayside for so many years, you'd see guys that wanted to just go to the ball. They just wanted to go to the ball. And Phil would always say, just stay at home. Just stay at home.
Yeah.
You guys were doing that the other night.
No, I think they did. You know, eye discipline and just overall gap integrity.
You know,
that's what it comes down to. We didn't have a lot of vertical displacement creating gaps for them. We took the air out, and we're rallying to the football right now real well.
Well, that's good. Barry, I would ask you how you're preparing, but you're a retired, so you're just riding your Harley now.
That's right. I get to do that. I want to say one thing, though, Rains, before Coach Smith leaves. First of all, congratulations, Coach, on what you've done so far. You know, and being the first athletic director and the first football coach at Spanish Fork, it was important to me of the guys that were going to follow. And I tell you, one thing that has, you mentioned it, Randy, 20 years, one thing that stayed consistent with Spanish Fork teams is that they never back down. I mean, I taught my kids that. We didn't have any teams, but we taught them never back down. And that's carried on with Coach Smith's team, Coach Freeman, the whole thing. That's the Spanish Fork, you know, constant. And I'm very proud of that.
Hey, it's been a fun show. Chase, thanks for hanging out with us. That music is way loud. Barry, thanks for being here. Mark, good luck this week. See
you, buddy.